Now, for many years, Josephine Moon struggled with the question of eating meat, fervently wishing to live as a vegetarian, yet requiring meat in her diet. From Josephine's philosophical, spiritual, and physical battle with eating meat came Buddhism for Meat Eaters, a book for animal lovers, the environmentally and ethically conscious, and those generally thoughtful people who eat meat but perhaps aren't entirely comfortable doing so. And I have to confess, I probably fall in that last category. Jo, thank you so much for joining us. How are you?
I am great. Thank you so much for having me along.
No, it's great. I was talking about your book to a friend on the weekend, and their first comment was, isn't eating meat diametrically opposed to the Buddhism philosophy of not killing? And I said, well,
I know.
So talk to us about that.
That was a great shock to me as well. So first of all, I sort of came to this after 30 odd years of angst about eating meat and wanting to reconcile that. But Buddhism had been in and out of my life since I was a teenager, so for 30, you know, odd years. But I hadn't really started studying it, you know, in depth until my dog died. So I was actually looking last year, my dog Daisy, and I was looking for help to help me with grief, actually, at the time. And ironically, stumbled across all this sort of philosophy that suddenly pulled together this other great angst of my life that I'd had for all those years, which was about eating meat. So, yes, the sort of number one principle of Buddhism is do not kill. So you kind of assume that everybody's vegetarian, but in fact it's not true. So the Buddha himself ate meat, the Dalai Lama eats meat, and worldwide most Buddhists actually do eat meat.
That is amazing. That is so amazing. Yes. Because I think, you know, until I was reading your book and came across that, I was like, this is really helpful knowledge to know. I mean, I wouldn't say we consume a great deal of meat, and I'm a huge animal lover, so I do have this tension in my life, like you talk about. And so to read in your book and read that the Dalai Lama, he consumes a small amount of meat as well, that was really enlightening. Talk to us about the animals that are impacted by those who do consume a mainly vegetarian diet, because you explore that in your book as well.
Yeah, so one of the first noble truths, so Buddhism is said to have four noble truths, and the very first noble truth is suffering exists everywhere, all the time. You and I suffer, and we cause suffering every day of our life. And so when you look more, and I've heard a lot of Buddhist teachers talk about this, when you sort of let go of a label of being fixated, like I was for a long time very fixated on the idea that I needed to be vegan and that was the only way that I could be living this very compassionate life. But when you let go of that label and you start looking at this huge spectrum of life and our influence on it, you start to see, well, actually, vegan-vegetarian lifestyles are not free of cruelty either, because growing vegetables and fruits means death to an awful lot of plants, animals, worms, insects, bugs, all sorts of creatures. We use pesticides to literally kill them. Plus ploughing up the earth kills them. We often clear forests and therefore all of the animals that live there to grow food. I mean, it is an endless cycle of suffering around food.
Yeah. Why do you think these topics become so inflamed with emotion?
Oh, I think because people are very passionate about it. Like, and I talk a lot about when I was sort of in my early 20s, I was studying environmental science and I was quite, at that point, really passionately wanting to be a vegan and wanting to save the world. And you're so kind of, you want very much to end suffering, I think, is your driving sort of point. But I think what I have found so unhelpful for me personally over decades is that all we really ever hear is this sort of very polarized argument about that. So we'll hear the very loud and angry and desperate vegans on one side, and we'll hear the very loud and angry and desperate kind of meat defenders on the other side. And there's a whole bunch of us in that spectrum in between kind of going, well, I'd really like to be vegan or vegetarian, but my body doesn't deal with not having this amount of protein in it. And we're sort of silenced a bit, I think, because the only things that make headlines and make, you know, retweetable tweets and all of that sort of thing are very angry, loud, desperate, polarizing arguments.
Yeah, that's so true. I mean, no one can say that you don't have a love for animals. You've had horse rescue operations before, and you're currently looking at building a pool. Can you tell us, tell our listeners, why you're currently looking at building a pool?
We have now finished the pool.
Oh my God, you finished it! Oh,
we have.
Awesome.
Because our latest dog, our newest fur baby dog, who's just turned one, has elbow dysplasia, and so the best possible therapy she can do for the rest of her life is swimming.
Oh, I love it.
And then we went, well, yeah, obviously now we're going to build a pool for the dog. So, yeah, we try and do whatever an animal needs in order to help it on its way.
I love it. I love it. And, Jo, so your book is out now. Is that correct? It's available
today
in stores?
Yeah, today's the official release day.
Yes, congratulations. And where can we find it?
Where?
Yeah.
So you should be able to find it in all good bookstores. It's online as well. All the online book retailers have it. It's
perfect.
Also out in ebook as well on Audible.
Oh, perfect. That is excellent. Oh, that's great that it's on Audible, because I think that opens it up to a really wider audience as well.
Yeah, I listen to heaps of audiobooks. I love them.
Yes. Yeah, awesome. Look, Jo Moon, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for your insights and your wisdom, and all the best with the book, hey?
Thanks so much for having me along.
No worries. Bye.
Cheers. Bye.